We realize this month we are doing a very small mini-series on Psalms because we love Psalms, right? Many of us love Psalms because they're very comforting, right? When you engage yourself reading the Psalm, sometimes we feel that we are in the Psalm, right? We go through certain situations in our life and we read, we realize, oh yes, I was in such a situation, and then we realize, you know, how God, you know, saves us from the slimy pit. You know, certain Psalms speaks about it, and that's the power of God's word. And it also teaches about, you know, who God is. It teaches about theology, and then the same note, it teaches about who we are in terms of our relationship with God. And so let's pray and let's start. Father, we thank you, Lord, for another day that you have given us to come as a church, as one body of God, to worship you, to recognize your greatness, O God, and to adore your name, Father. Hallelujah. And Lord, we pray, God, as we spend time, Lord, looking at your word, we pray that your word will continue to lead us, Father, that we will always seek guidance from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Who are you? Hello? You might be wondering what's happening to Pastor Vincent. Who are you?
I'm God's child.
You are God's child. Who are you? Don't worry, I'm not having any dementia. I'm okay. Yeah, my doctors say I'm okay, don't worry. You know, many times when people ask a question like that, you know, who are you? You know, it also depends on the tone, right? Who are you? It's different from who are you? Yeah, maybe sometimes my tone is a bit different. You know, when people ask, we tend to answer. What do we answer, right? We tell, many times we'll introduce our names, right? We introduce our names, we introduce ourselves to them. We, you know, our circumstances in life, or probably, you know, our profession, where we are, our profession, where we reside, and that's the way, you know, we introduce ourselves. That's the way we look at ourselves, right? We talk about our families, and this is me, and that's who I am. You know, the question when I ask, you know, who are you? It's a very important question for us, right? It's not a question, you know, that I'm asking in a very social way, kind of a thing. But it's a very theological question. I think each and every one of us have to ask this question. Who am I? Right? In theological terms, in God's word, who am I? And I think it's important. Who am I in relation to other human beings? Who am I in relation to God? What am I doing, you know, in this human race, right? And what's my role? I think it's important for each and every one of us to know, you know, our role and who we are in the sight of God. This great writer, you know, by the name of Roy, he said, do not let your roles you play in life make you forget that you are a human. He's just a writer and a thinker. Right? He says, don't let your roles in life make you forget you're a human. You know, many times we define ourselves by what we do, right? Probably, maybe what we do, what we have in life, what we possess in life, and that's who we are. And that's what we think of ourselves. Today morning, I was having a small talk with my family, and you know, I was asking, you know, what is the worth of human being, right? Do you know something? You guys who are seated here, we have a lot of accountants. According to science, you know, each and every one of you are worth $45 million. Do you know that? Dollars, U.S. dollars, right? What's that? If it is Indonesian dollars, then it's different, right? 1 million is around 100 Singapore dollars, or 100 Canadian dollars. You know, that's the way, you know, the scientific world looks at life, right? It creates a worth to you. This is, you know, how much you're worth. Each part of your body is worth so much. And I was looking, you know, how much is my hair worth? It's very interesting. A 22-inch brown, dark brown hair is worth $350. right? You know something, your barber is making a lot of money, right? It doesn't mean you don't go to the barber. So I think that's the way we look at our life, you know, who we are. And the passage today, it's a passage, it's a psalm that talks about, you know, who we are. It talks about, you know, some fundamental, profound truth to recognize who we are in relation to God and also in relation to the created order, in relation to the things that God has actually created in this entire universe. And so I thought we will just look at this, you know, some principles, some fundamental truths about ourselves. You know, it's important for us to understand this, you know, as we, that's why Psalms are so beautiful, right? It talks about the theology of God. It talks about, you know, who we are in relationship to God and all that. Firstly, maybe sometimes you might not like this word, right? You know, we are God's creature. In other words, you are a creature. Wow. You know, many times when you use the word creature, we always think of something, you know, lower than us. Right? That's the way we always use creature. But I'm very careful when I use this word, because when I, you know, when I'm looking at the dictionary, it says, you know, an animal also can be called a creature. A human being can also be called a creature. So I think that's what David is looking, right? He says, he's just reminding himself that I am a creature. In the theological perspective, I am a creature created by this wonderful and loving God. If I use the words of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 20, he says, from the dust I came, right? And to the dust I go. And that's how, you know, he looks at it. And I think it's important for us to be reminded, to be conscious, because the world defines us differently. Right? The world looks at it differently. Today, you know, when you look at the world, if you realize, you know, it's very common to see the New Age theology that's very present in this world today. You know, according to the New Age theology, every person is God. You can do it, right? You have control over your life. And you know, yes, you know, it also depends on how the person tells you. But the New Age theology tells us that you are God. You decide. No one decides for you. There is no divine power or supernatural designs for you. But you decide. And not only that, the New Age theology also says all is one. In all is one. There's nothing, you know, different and all that. Everything is one, and everything is God. That is New Age theology. Everything that I touch and I hold is God. But we, you know, and we are caught in this kind of a world, right? And so the Psalm, David is reminding himself, and if you look at the verses very carefully, you know, very powerful, right? The way he tells, right? He looks not himself first. He looks at God first. He says, Lord, our God, how majesty is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies. Then he says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have set in place. And he says, what is man? So, in other words, he's looking at God. Let me tell you, my friend, if you really want to know who you are, we need to start looking at ourselves, not looking at God. When I start looking at God, then I will realize, who am I? Today, we live in a world that says, look at yourself. You need no need to look at God, because you are God. You look at yourself. You decide. You plan your destiny. You have your goals and objectives. You don't need another power or supernatural being to help us. But David looks at God. Can you imagine a king, a so powerful king? In those days, you know, kings were always seen as gods in those days. That's why, you know, the entire citizens, the subjects of the land will give their lives, because the king was always seen as God. Even in Japan, the emperor is seen as a god. Do you know that? You know, whatever the emperor says, it's as if it's God speaking to them. But David recognizes, he sees God and he says, Lord, you know, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, right? And so I think it's important for us to be always be conscious of this, right? The more I look at God, let me tell you, the more I realize that I am created by this wonderful, loving, all-powerful, right, God who created the heavens, the work of his fingers, the moon and the stars, right? And this God have actually created me. And so I think that's how we should look at ourselves. But today, not really the New Age theology, you know, people think, you know, I was looking at certain articles, you know, the writers of these articles say, they say if you have more positive thinking, then your life is much more worth. But if you have self-hating, you know, you are depressed with yourself, then your life is not worth. That's the way they value. But you're a God creature. And so David is reminding himself, you know, I'm not a creator. When I see God, when I walk closer with God, when I look at the heavens of God, when I look at your creation, I'm just reminded I'm another creature that has been created by your wonderful and your loving hands. Let me move on. And that's how, you know, David is actually looking at himself. And then he also, you know, uses, if you realize, he uses the word, God, you have created me, right, by his loving hands, and you have crowned him, right, with glory and honor. In other words, I think, you know, God has made us more of his image. It can also be very prophetic in when you look at scripture very carefully, right? And God has actually, you know, made us in his image. You know, there is no other creation that God said, you know, it is in my image. Very clear, right, when you read the Genesis creation story. And so it is also prophetic in nature. Secondly, when I look at this word, you know, not only you are created, right, but it also tells me that you are cared for, right? Look at the word again, very interesting. It says, what is mankind that you're mindful of him? Very interesting word in the Hebrew text. It means God is thinking of me. In a layman's term, can you imagine when someone have a hiccup? You know, we always say someone is thinking of you, right? Or sometimes you may say someone is cursing you. That's why you have a hiccup, you know. But God is thinking of us, and it's so. When I was reading this word, you know, I was just I didn't know. For a moment, I was just quiet because I was telling. Can you imagine? Look at the sun and the, you know, stars. The galaxies, I think many of you have gone to science classes, you know, it's so vast. Our human mind cannot comprehend. We don't understand God's creation. It's so vast and so powerful, right? And I'm a little guy. I'm a nobody compared to the galaxies, to the planet that God has created. But this God says that I'm mindful of them in you. In other words, God is thinking of me, my friend. Can you imagine? Let me tell you, I still can't imagine. It's so powerful because when you look at the galaxies and all the things that happens in the world today, my friend, you realize there are so many big things, but I'm a minute thing. But God says, he's mindful. He's thinking of me. That's the speciality of Christianity, because this faith talks about a personal God. He did not just create, right, and just left the world like this. He's mindful of each and every one of you, my friend. He knows you by name. That's what the Word of God says. He knows, and our names are written on the palms of God's hand. You know, that indicates that God is so loving. He writes our names. He knows my name. Have you ever imagined that? Let me tell you, when I was preparing the sermon, I was really having a tough time. I can't imagine in a very positive sense, right? And I'm so nothing. Ecclesiastes 3:20 says, I'm a dust, right? But God is just mindful of this dust. And he says, he cared for them. What a powerful God that we have. He cares for them, right? The word here means, you know, he cares with his grace and his mercy in our life. I do not know, my friend, have you ever imagined? Have you sat down and, you know, told yourself, you know, this God is so mindful of me, he cares for me. Today, my friend, you might be wondering in your life, does God really care? Let me tell you, God cares for you. There are so many things, even Enoch, when he was reading, it was a very powerful passage he was reading. God cares for you today. Right? He is mindful. He didn't hear in his thoughts. Right? And God loves us so much. And why he cares for us, have you ever realized? Look at the word very carefully. He uses the word mankind or humankind, right? Mankind, I know we are talking about women's eldership. I'm not talking about mankind here. That's a different topic altogether, right? When he uses the word mankind or human being, he's actually saying, if you look at the Hebrew word very carefully, he's saying that we are weak people. We are sick people. We are limited people. You know, that's the word. The word is used. God has to care for us because we are weak. We need help. We need guidance. We are sick. You know, God's healing has to be upon us. We are feeble. We are frail people. That's the way, you know, we are. That's the way, you know, the word is used in the Hebrew text, my friend. And that's why God is so mindful of us, and God cares for them. And I still can't understand, you know, how great and how deep the love of God is for me. That looking at the end, you know, we always look at the big picture, but God looks at not only the big picture, the small, tiny, little person, right? From what is that? From the clouds, you don't see anything. But God even cares for each and every one of us. Let me move on, right? And what a wonderful God that we have, you know. And another one is important thing is, though, you have dignity. Have you ever realized you are God's creature, right? And you are cared for, and you have a dignity. In other words, you have an honor, right? You have a respect, and that's the way, you know, that actually God creates. I was reading this great philosopher's writing, you know, Immanuel Kant, and you know, this is what he says. He says, everything has either a price or a dignity. Whatever has a price can be replaced by something else as its equivalent. On the other hand, whatever is above all price and therefore admits of no equivalent has a dignity. God, you know, as you are a dignity, you are not a price. Earlier I said human race or human being, you, each and every one of us can be worth $45 million, provided, you know, every part of our body is functioning well, right? Then you're worth $45 million. If not, you have to reduce, right? 20%, 30%, right? And that's the way. But when Immanuel Kant, the great philosopher, when he talks about the human nationality and dignity or race, he's saying, you know, he concludes by saying that we cannot replace. That's the way he says, we are not a product, my friend. You're not an each and everyone. It's not a product here, right? Today, it's about numbers. But God doesn't see his numbers. He sees us as individuals, as people, right? With dignity. And that's what Immanuel Kant was also saying when he talks about human being, that you cannot be replaced. That's the way that God looks at us. He doesn't see you as a product, but you have a dignity because this loving God has actually created us with his loving hands. Let's look at the verse very carefully. Right? Why do I have dignity, you know, right? Who am I? Why do I need to have that kind of respect, right? You have made them little lower than the angels and crowned them, you know, with glory and honor. In other words, you know, God has actually made us, right, little less than angels. So sometimes you might say, you know, am I less and all that? And if I look at the writings of Thomas Aquinas is very interesting. right? He says, a great theologian, right, in the early days of the church, he says, human beings, according to his understanding of God's word, he says, you know, we are in between angels. You know, when you look at the Hebrew word, can also be mean God or divine, right? We are in between the angels and the animals, and that's the way. In other words, we are next to God. We are not God, right? But we are next to God. And that's the way Thomas Aquinas, in his writing, says, that we are next to God. He has made us little lower than the angels and crowned us with glory. You know, sometimes, what? God has crowned me with glory? I don't see a crown on my head, right? Only the queen has the crown. But the way he says, you know, when you look at the word, he explains further. He says, you know, you have dignity because you have made them rulers over the hands of your works. Can you imagine? God has made us, right? Not as a product, but dignity. And he has given us, right, not only responsibility, but I think what has happened, if I look at the word very carefully, first of all, he has made us in his image, right? And then he has also made us to rule and reign, right? I want to be very careful when I use the word rule and reign here. First of all, I have dignity. You know why? I'm not a product, right? But I'm created in the image of God. There is no other creation that has the image of God apart from you and I, my friend. Nothing resembles God, right? But you and I resembles the image of God because we have the mental likeness, right? We have the moral likeness. We can know we are social likeness, right? We can show love for one another. When you look at the word very carefully, there's no imitation. That's the way, you know, in the Hebrew text. You know, we are created in the image of God. We are so special. Have you ever realized? And that's the way he says. And then he says, you know, we have dignity to rule and reign. Wow, I'm talking to rulers here. You know, there are books, wonderful books, Born to Reign and all that. You know, God has actually, you know, given us dignity to rule and to reign, right? To over the works of his hands and put everything under his feet. In other words, you know, God says, you know, David is talking about the creation order here. We are here to manage, right? You have to manage the things, the resources that God has given to us to be cared for. That's why we talk about environment today, right? We talk about animal rights today, but sometimes they go too much of the limit, I know, to the extreme side where, you know, nobody is so important kind of a stuff, right, which I don't agree in. Yes, it's important, right, about animal rights. It's important to be environmentally conscious. You know, it's important. I think we cannot abuse the ecosystem of this world. But the sad part, instead of ruling, in other words, instead of caring, when I say rule, it doesn't mean authority, right? It means to care, to guide. But what has happened? We have become bondage to the resources that God has given us. Have you realized? We have become bondage to the things that God has said, you rule, you reign the things. But the things have become, you know, we have become bondage to all these things. They rule us. Have you realized? The things of this world, they rule us, they govern us, they tell us what to do next. Instead of we taking that role, my friend, because God wants us, you know, to take care of the things. If you look at the words of the parables of Jesus Christ, right? And when he talks about the talents, look at the word very carefully in the Greek text. You know, God has actually entrusted to us. In other words, he wants us to care for it, right? So that everything glorifies God, my friend. But what has happened? We have become bondage to the things that God has created and wants us, right? Today, things of this world has actually become much more valuable, right? To us than we are supposed to be caring for in this world. Let me move on, you know. and so You know, sometimes when I look at this word, I ask myself, you know, where did I get this dignity from? Have you realized? I get this dignity because God have created me. I get this dignity because, you know, God loves me. I get this dignity because, you know, God's redemptive work is seen in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, you know, if there is no God, there is no dignity, my friend. We have no value. We are dead and gone from this world because of God. Because God exists, we have dignity because we have an image of God and we are here to rule and reign. When I look at the word rule and reign, very carefully look at God's word, you know, when you look at that entire theme of the, look at themes of the scriptures, you realize when you rule and reign, there is always accountability at the things that God has actually given to us. Not only responsibility, but also accountability. We are accountable to the things that God has given to us to rule and to reign over the things, my friend. That is important. We need to be responsible people. We need to be using things wisely, right? And that's how David says that God has actually given everything to us, right, to care for, so that everything praises God and worships God, and it's always in according to His design. Let me finish with this, right? The last one, which is very important, right? You are to worship God. Right? Did you realize how the psalmist, you know, he starts? He starts by saying, right? He doesn't start by saying, "Who am I?" Right? That's the way I started my sermon today. Who are you? Right? And some of you might be wondering, Pastor Vincent is not so well today, or maybe he's so excited to go back to Singapore for holidays, right? But I think if you look at the psalm very carefully, what is he? He starts with God, right? He starts with God, and then he also ends with God. Lord, our God, how majesty is your name in all the earth, right? So, you know, and you look at it very carefully, you know, it means a lot. It tells a lot. When I look at my life, right, my life should be a life of worship, my friend. And that's the way the psalmist is. You know, you are here, if I use the words of Augustine, right? Right, we are here to worship God. And that's what God wants us. What does it worship means, right? It is not just singing of songs alone. It is not just coming and, you know, singing songs on Sundays, right? It is more than that. It is more than that. If you look at the Greek word very carefully, right? You know, when you look at the Greek word, the word worship, right, 3,000 words of Greek words of what worship talks about service or acts of doing things that pleases or glorifies God. So it's not just worshiping God by singing songs, right, as a corporate body, which is important. There are thousands of words in support of that. But it also means worship is, you know, when I do things, when I live a life for God. And that's the way, you know, Paul looks at it very carefully, right? It is not just worshiping God, but the way I live in this world, the way I do things in the world, right? My priorities also says whether I worship God. In other words, I see the greatness of God, the decisions that I take in this world. Do I worship God in my decision? Is Christ glorified, honored by my decisions, the way I live my life? And that's worship. And that's the way, you know, David also sees it here in in Psalm 8. He looks at God, he looks at the creation of God, he ends by saying, Lord, how majesty is your name. Elohim, right? He also uses the covenant name of God. And so today, my friend, I think we need to be living a life of worship. Not only you are a creature, right? You are cared for. You have a dignity, but you are here to worship, live a life of worship to God, right? Worship is not only on Sundays. Every day it's worship. Worshiping God by living a life for Him, a life of living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, you know, and that is a reasonable worship. That's what Paul says in this word, right? And so, And that's worship. Who are you today? Who are you? You're God's?
Creature.
You're God's creature. Who are you? Don't worry, I'm not asking you whether you know my points. Always remember, right, that you are created, you are a creature created by the loving hands of God. And always be reminded, you know, that God cares for us. He's so mindful of us, right? He could have totally forgotten about us because there are so much of things happening in the galaxies, right? There are so many big things. We are just minute people, but God is just thinking of me. And then you are dignified people. In other words, you have a dignity. Always remember this. You know what's a dignity? Each and every one of you have the image of God in you. That's the dignity. I have God's image, right? God has made me. And not only that, and not to rule. In other words, I need to be accountable to do the things that God has given to me, to my care. That each and everything given to my care, not only the animals, the plants, or even the resources that God has given to me, all the blessings that God has given to me, I need to be, you know, accountable to God because it has been entrusted into my hands. And this king is coming back one day, right, to ask me accounts. So my friend, always remember, when you leave this place, right, every time I know our service leaders will say, our worship has ended. Worship has never ended, right? Worship continues each and every moment. Each and every moment our worship continues. Let's pray. Can I ask you to do something today when you drive back home? I want you to just drive, just looking at God's creation. Look at the clouds, the sky, the trees you might see, the birds in the air. Some of you might be just passing by certain streams or some hilly places. Can you imagine this? God says that I'm so mindful of you, that you're in my thoughts. I've not forgotten you. As human beings, many times we say, I've got so much of things in my mind, I forgot about all these small things. But God says, you know, I'm also thinking of you. Dear friends, I think what a wonderful God. He says he wants us to care for the works of his hand. Can you imagine this God? He's wanting us to care for the resources that have been given to us. Not only the environment, but the many things that God has given to us, the many blessings, the resources, even the assets that God has given to us, you know, it's God's given to us. You know, sometimes we become bondage to it. But are we glorifying God? Do we realize that he's been entrusted to us? Because someday, for sure, I need to give an account for all the many blessings that God has given to me and all the resources, to all the things that God has said, be fruitful and multiply. Is your life a life of worship today? Has worship ended after 11 today? Or does worship continues? Is our life honoring God? Is our decisions honoring God? the things that we pick in life, is it honoring God? Is it worshiping God? Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for reminding us about who we are. We thank you, Lord, that the more we see you, the more we understand about you. In Jesus' name we pray.